Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Aegis Logistics Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Rasika Savant from Orient Capital, investor relations partner. Thank you, and over to you, Rasika.
Welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Aegis Logistics Limited.
Sorry to interrupt, Rasika. The audio is slightly low.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it better?
Yes.
Today on this call we have Mr. Raj Chandaria, Chairman and Managing Director, along with senior management team. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. Actual results. Statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number 2 of company's investor presentation, which has been uploaded on stock exchange and company's website. With this, I hand over the call to Mr. Raj Chandaria for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Good afternoon. I'm joined by our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Murad Moledina, and we will jointly be presenting the FY22-23 Q1 results, as well as the outlook for the rest of the year, 2022-23, and various business updates. Let me start by reminding everyone of our vision for the company. Our vision is to be the leading provider of logistics and supply chain services to India's oil, gas, and chemical industry. Everything we do is aligned with this vision. Let me say that the successful commencement of our partnership with Royal Vopak, along with the successful launch of the Kandla LPG terminal and the growth projects currently under implementation. With those, that vision is certainly coming into clearer focus. Now, you will recall that we had a good overall performance for the whole year of FY21-22, and I'm pleased to present to you another strong performance for Q1 FY22-23 to build further on the profits growth that we saw last year. Revenues increased to 2,235 crores versus. Sorry, Murad, what is the. I have a typo here. The revenue, 678 crores year-on-year, as a result of primarily as a result of the higher sourcing volumes that we had referred to in the previous call. Normalized EBITDA for the group increased to 164 crores in Q1 versus 114 crores in the previous year, a rise of 43% over the previous year, which is, I believe, a lifetime high. Profit before tax rose to 131 crores compared to 90 crores year-on-year, and that's a rise of 46%, which is, you know, for profit before tax. Profit after tax for the group was 107 crores versus 72 crores year-on-year, and that is a rise of 49%. We believe that this marks a strong platform for robust profits growth during this fiscal year. On the basis of this, of the excellent results that we've seen in Q1 and confidence in our future performance, I'm also pleased to report that the board of directors has declared an interim dividend of rupees 1.50, 1.50 rupees per share. I would now like to hand over to Mr. Moledina, our CFO, to go through the underlying segment numbers. Murad, can I hand it over to you, please?
Thank you. We'll start with liquid terminal division. The revenue for Q1 FY23 were rupees 81 crore, which is a lifetime high, versus rupees 66 crore year-on-year. That is an increase of 23%. The EBITDA of liquid terminal division for the quarter rose to 55 crore, which is again an increase of 12% year-on-year. Coming to gas terminal divisions, revenues were 2,155 crore for the quarter versus 612 crore year-on-year. The EBITDA for the quarter was 109 crore versus 65 crore in the previous year quarter, the same quarter, a rise of 68%. We continue to see growth for the gas division with sourcing, throughput, and distribution volumes improving. I will now try and explain with the sales volume analysis. Starting with the throughput volumes, the LPG volume for the quarter handled at our three terminals of Mumbai, Haldia, and Pipavav were 6.37 lakh metric tons versus 5.67 metric tons year-on-year. This was despite a 10% lower volume recorded at Haldia on account of Haldia Port taking up upgradation of both the jetties where the group handles LPG. This will, however, help in increase of throughput volumes going forward from Haldia. The company had good volumes at Mumbai as it continued to operate at full capacity with IOC, HPCL, and DPCL all bringing imports. The LPG rail gantry at Pipavav continues to perform well and is delivering considerable cost savings to our customers, which is driving the improved volumes at Pipavav. The bulk industrial segment delivered a whopping 85,300 metric tons in Q1 versus 30,900 metric tons year-on-year, representing 176% growth over previous year and a lifetime high. Margins in this segment remained stable. With Kandla LPG terminal now operationally stabilized, we believe that the distribution business will continue to register impressive growth going forward. The commercial and domestic cylinder segment, which sells to hotels, restaurants, and small-scale industries under the Pure Aegis Pure Gas brand and to the domestic household segment under the Aegis Chhota Sikandar brand, were higher with Q1 sales of 5,973 metric tons versus 5,039 metric tons year-on-year, registering a 19% increase. Auto gas sales were also higher at 5,148 metric tons in Q1 versus 3,567 metric tons a year earlier, an increase of 44%. Margins remained stable and healthy. The sales volume of sourcing business was 229,992 metric tons versus 100,052 metric tons year-on-year. As reported previously, we expect this increase in volumes to continue throughout the calendar year. With that, I would now like to hand over back to Mr. Rajchandani.
Okay. Thank you very much, Parag. Let me now turn to the business updates for the quarter and outlook for the rest of the year and also the update on the CapEx plan. During the quarter, Pipavav Port continued its work on making the jetty LPG compliant. Making the LPG jetty compliant for handling VLGCs, with the completion expected now sometime during Q3, which when completed, will further improve the competitiveness of Pipavav as an LPG logistics hub. Work also continues at Kandla Oil Jetty number 3, which will also be VLGC compliant when the work is completed, and that is expected sometime during this, you know, by the end of this financial year. We understand that work continues well on the by IHBL, that's the Indian Oil, Hindustan Petroleum, Bharat Petroleum consortium, which is building the KGPL LPG pipeline. To which, if I can remind everyone, both Kandla Port, our terminal at Kandla and Pipavav Port will be connected. Phase 1 is expected to be completed this year as well. In terms of the outlook for FY 2023, the rest of FY 2023, both gas and liquid segments continue to perform well. And it is our expectation that this year's profits will continue to grow robustly. We expect our liquid business, which is with its leading position in the key ports of India, to perform well for the rest of the year, especially in light of good economic growth in the country. The same applies to the LPG segment. And as I have said in previous calls, we are confident that the distribution business is going to flourish and add to our base throughput business. As far as the projects update is concerned, I'm pleased to confirm that the project work has now commenced full swing on all the expansion projects announced last year, and we will keep giving updates in the ensuing quarters as and when the work progresses and we are nearing commissioning of any of these projects. Finally, as far as the Aegis Vopak joint venture is concerned, as I informed you previously, the joint venture has achieved a successful closure and is performing in line with expectations. And along with our partners, we are constantly evaluating business opportunities and proposals and are confident that the combination of our strengths will lead to some interesting projects in the future. So I think that concludes my formal presentation, and we can now move on to take questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Gazal Gupta from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So I have a couple of questions. The first question would be that there is a huge spike in other expenses from going from 39 crore to 106 crore. If possible, could you please provide the breakup of that? And the next question is related to the volume of different segments. As mentioned, there's a sudden spike in the distribution segment in this particular quarter. So just wanted to understand that what drove this particular growth and can we expect a similar number for the coming quarter? And for the logistics segment, so as mentioned that there was a 10% decline in volume due to Haldia. But on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the volume decline is approximately 20%. So could you please explain that the remaining 10%, why was there a decline? That's all from my end. Thank you.
Murad, you want to just take up the income and expenditure? Yeah, please.
So, yeah, regarding your first question, the other expenditure includes JV-related expenses, which is mentioned in the notes to the quarterly results, amounting to 62.08 crores. So that is what is the reason for the other expenditure increase. As far as your next question on, it slipped my mind. What was it?
My next question was that I wanted to understand so since there is a sudden spike in the distribution segment for this particular quarter, just wanted to understand that what drove this growth and can we expect a similar number in the coming quarter?
Yes, we can expect on similar lines as we have mentioned, Kandla Terminal has stabilized operations. And we have started it off as a distribution hub for industrial area nearby, including Morbi. And we expect such healthy volumes in ensuing quarters also. As regards your Haldia question on Haldia, 10% lower, and quarter on quarter, we are down by 20%. Q1 generally is not strong. So you have to compare year on year where we have done an improvement on throughput volumes in spite of 10% fall in Haldia volumes.
Okay. Thank you. And I just have one more question. So since distribution segment is high margin business and there is a sudden spike, so but the
I think we have lost you.
Yeah, we've lost the connection. We move on to the next participant. Chirag Vakharia from Vadrani Group. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have a couple of questions. So first, want to understand the liquid terminal revenue has gone up, but profitability hasn't increased.
Yes. That is because we have just done, additions of CRL terminal and Friends terminals in the liquid segment, where EBITDA improvements and, product mix, etc. will take a few quarters. And then you will see the improvement in the EBITDA of liquid also.
Okay, okay. So, what is the volume in bulk gas category, sir? I missed that number.
In bulk, we have clocked 85. Just give me a moment. We have done 85,300 metric tons versus 30,900 tons in the June quarter last year.
At the cost of being repetitive, this is sustainable, sir?
Yes, we have just explained that.
So that this is on account of the supply to Morbi, right?
To industrial areas in and around Kanpur.
Okay, and so reason for high other income?
Valuation of options which we have under the JV.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Rajesh Agarwal from Manure. Please go ahead.
Sir, the increase in volumes of bulk is because of a shortage of natural gas or LNG. So it is sustainable for industrial going forward? Because a lot of tile companies are now using propane.
Murad, you want me to answer that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yes. I think obviously from the last three participants, they've all been surprised at the spike in distribution volumes. And I think this is correct. We believe that the LNG or natural gas, whether it's in liquefied form or compressed form or any other form, pipe form, there is going to be quite a supply crunch and price problem with high price problem with natural gas, whichever form it takes. Now, obviously, propane prices have also spiked up. All energy prices have spiked up. But we believe that the closest fuel to natural gas is propane or LPG, and so we are quite hopeful that this trend is going to continue. Not only are we hopeful, we are confident that the trend is going to continue for some time to come.
So for us, there is no capacity constraint. Whatever is the volume, we can supply.
Yes, that's correct.
Can you give the corresponding figures in the fourth quarter of bulk volumes and auto LPG volumes?
Murad?
So we don't have it here, but we can give you offline, yeah.
Offline. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Kazal Gupta from JM Financial. Please go ahead. Ma'am, your line is unmuted. Yeah.
Sorry, I got disconnected the last time. I was discussing about the EBITDA. So since distribution is high margin business, but my EBITDA on a QOQ level is almost flat. So just wanted to understand the dynamics of EBITDA per ton. Has it changed for the logistics and distribution segment, or it would be really helpful if you could provide an average number of the value for EBITDA per ton for these two segments?
Madam, you have to compare like by like, which is a June quarter with June quarter last year, where there is an increase in EBITDA of 68%. If you compare it with the previous quarter, then you have to also compare the volumes, where, as was discussed in the earlier question, throughput is lower by 20%. So as such, you would have seen flattish EBITDA when compared to the previous quarter. Q1 is generally, as mentioned earlier, not strong in every financial year. This year, the EBITDA of gas for Q1 is lifetime high. So we have broken that where even in Q1, we have done a good performance as far as gas terminal is concerned.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Lavanya from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, despite being repetitive, I just wanted to ask on distribution volume. Do you see any potential softness in near term because of some shutdown which is happening in Morbi? They have announced like 1 month shutdown. So that might impact current quarter volumes. Do you any sense there, sir?
Murat, you want to just answer that? I think you have.
You see, Morbi shutdown is not more than 15-20 days in the month of August, and we have not yet been selling huge volumes in Morbi to get affected by that. This distribution bulk distribution volumes are from three ports, which is Mumbai, Kandla, and Haldia. So as such, we do not see much or a significant effect on our distribution volumes in the ensuing quarters also.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir. And on the other income bit, can you just help me understand a bit more on why is it higher? I missed in the idea of
that is the valuation of options under the JV to the amounting to 76 crores.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Himanshu Yadav from Edelweiss Wealth Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Two, three questions. Murat, you said that if on a YOY basis, we are taking 10% kind of softness in Haldia, and despite that, sir, it seems like there is also some softness at Mumbai and the other port. Otherwise, our quarterly volume should have been even better. I mean, could you just talk about that? I mean, just Haldia 10% softness does not explain the softer volumes.
We have increased throughput volumes from 567,000 metric tons to 637,000 metric tons despite 10% fall in Haldia volumes. So that explains that there is an increase in the other two ports, which is namely Mumbai and Pipavav. So, I mean, that's all I have to say on this.
Right, but for last year, base quarter, I mean, Haldia volumes were, I guess, itself very, weak because we lost some share to BPCL.
Yeah, that continues. BPCL is still not there. So it is comparable volumes. If BPCL would have been there in last year Q1, then that would have been adjustment would have been required. But it's a comparable volume, and we have seen increase in Mumbai and Pipa and Haldia. There is softness of 10%, which we see in the next quarter being corrected as the jetties have now become operational and upgraded. Yeah.
Okay.
So this will enable a better turnaround for ships going forward.
Sure. Next question, sir. Could you also talk about what is the current cash and debt position of the company?
So currently in June we are carrying cash of balance sheet, of course you will see in September, but we are carrying around 1,500 crore of cash in the balance sheet. Debt stands at around on a consolidated level stands around 900 crore.
Right. So sir, when we were saying that from Bhopal we would be getting around 2,600 crores of cash, so how much of that has come in?
We had said that 75%, which is 2,000 crore, we will receive, and very pleased to say that we have received 2,050 crores from the deal, and the tax is 300 crore, and then we have done investment, so that is why 1,500 crore stands in our balance sheet.
Understood. Makes sense. That is it for now. I'll join back the team.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dipesh Kashyap from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. So I just have one that why there was no contribution of Kandla port in the throughput volumes as it got commissioned in the month of May, right? And what will be the guidance for the full year from Kandla port itself?
Murad, can I just answer that question?
Yes.
So as far as Kandla port is concerned, we at the moment do not have a throughput agreement with any of the major oil companies. Of course, we are working on that, and we are confident that That will come through. This has been the pattern in Haldia, it has been the pattern in Pipa, it has been the pattern also in Kandla. That it will take some time to get one, two, or all three of the customers through putting volume through Kandla. These companies are a little cautious. They want to make sure everything is running smoothly before they commit. And also, of course, we are waiting for the VLGC completion of the VLGC upgradation work at the jetties and so on. So we don't have any concerns that ultimately we will be operating Kandla on the same basis as we are operating the other terminals. But at the moment, the distribution business is highly profitable and We continue to operate Kandla achieving the same kind of margins, in fact, possibly better margins in terms of overall total margins, on the distribution basis. So I think let's not read anything into it for one quarter. Let's see how the story unfolds.
Thank you for that. But do you think that agreement will be reached in this quarter? And you earlier guided around 0.7 million tons, right, for the Kandla port in the first year? Do you go by that number still?
I think I would not like to speculate as to the exact date at which we will be able to secure agreements with any customer. Whenever the customer feels that it's the right time for them to bring cargo, they will bring it. But I'm just mentioning that we are confident that this will happen. As far as the specific financial performance projections and so on, Murad, can I ask you to just take that one on the...
So Kandla, when we said 0.7 million tons and at an EBITDA of 1,000 is 70 crore EBITDA contribution for a 12-month period, I think we are well on course to achieve that, whether with a model of throughputing or distribution. So we are well on course to achieve that target of generating EBITDA of around 70 crore for a 12-month period from Kandla. I think that is what is important.
Got it, sir. And lastly, sir, Murad sir, you just answered the previous question that you have received a cash of 2050 crore from OPAC. But in the notes of the account, you have mentioned around 1098 crore, right? So I just want to understand what is the difference regarding.
No. We have said that Aegis has received 2050 crore, as has been explained many times in past. This is from the JV. So out of the equity which has been brought in, which is 1098 crore, and 350 crore for purchase of Hindustan Aegis shares, and the borrowing which the subsidiary JVCO has done and paid to Aegis. All of this put together is 2050 crore on group level, and that has been explained many times over in the past.
Got it. And so the borrowing that has been done at the JV level will be serviced by OPAC, right? Not by Aegis as such.
Will be serviced by the JVCO. Yeah?
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, all of us.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Digant Haria from Greenedge Wealth. Please go ahead.
This was explained, I think in two separate questions in this call, but this extra other income and extra other expenses, should they be seen as offsetting each other?
No, they are of different nature, and we follow the rules and the law laid down by Indian Accounting Standard, and accordingly they have been presented in the financial results.
No, Murad, I get that, but like, you know, just if somebody wants to take a broad view of the operating numbers, is it that, you know, in the quarter when other incomes are going to be high because of the revaluation, other expenses are also going to be high? And
yeah,
when
so,
they are
in our investor presentation, if you look at, these have been shown under other unallocated net expenditure. So we have netted out in that in the investor presentation, if you look at the P&L in our investor presentation.
Okay. Fine. And you know, maybe the next question is just
segment results. It is not reflected in the normalized EBITDA. It is outside the normalized EBITDA.
Right. No. Fine. I get it. Thanks for this. And then, you know, my second question is just on Kandla Gorakhpur pipeline, like, you know, what's the progress there, and you know, like, what do we expect once that pipeline is built, like, you know, which of our terminals can actually see a massive bump up in the throughput and all. Okay, just a macro commentary on this. That's it from my side.
The Kandla Gorakhpur pipeline is, as we've mentioned, is being constructed. It's a very large pipeline. Leading from Kandla port with a connection also to Pipavav port, so you know, both our ports and terminals will be connected to that pipeline, and you know, running through the heartland of India all the way to Gorakhpur. It has pipeline allocation to Pipavav. Murad, what was the figure of Pipavav allocation?
1.5 million tons has been planned for throughputting out of Pipavav port.
And then of course a significant amount to Kandla as well. And as I said, as you know, both our terminals will be connected to this Kandla Gorakhpur pipeline. So and of course the pipeline is being constructed by this Indian Oil, Bharat Petroleum, Hindustan Petroleum Consortium. They are working on it hard, but as we've seen in previous things, that the pipeline construction is not within our control. So I don't think we can give a precise date as to when we start seeing throughput through there, but we can certainly state with confidence that both at Pipavav and Kandla, we will be throughputting LPG on behalf of these public sector companies.
Yeah, and also to add here that IHB has taken the possession of land at in Pipavav. In our premises to build the pumping station, which would then connect to the KGPL pipeline. The work has started at the power.
No, thank you so much for this detailed explanation. One last question, if I may ask. You know, this 85,000 metric tons of gas that we did in the retail volumes, in that, is there any one-off kind of a thing? Because, you know, this quarter was very good for weddings, restaurants, you know, typically the commercial LPG cylinder users, or it was the Morbi effect where we have started supplying propane, and...
No, one-off, and it is Kandla terminal which has started, has also contributed. And we have said it earlier, Mr. Raj has also explained, we expect this to be quite a healthy growth in bulk distribution in the ensuing quarters.
No. Okay. Great. Great. Good. Very good to see this bump. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Ritwik Sheth from OneUp Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good evening, sir. A few questions from my end. Firstly, on the Vopak JV, you know, I would like to get the details on, you know, the gross debt ex Vopak JV, that is, Aegis, excluding the Vopak JV and the cash position, and then, Vopak, debt and cash position, if possible.
This is consolidated accounts. We do not do accounting in this manner. So, but if you ask me what was the debt before the Vopak JV came in, then it was around 450 crores.
Okay. Which has gone to now 900 crores.
Correct. Yeah.
Sure. Sure. And this 1,500 crores of cash would be sitting exclusively on the standalone balance sheet?
Yes. Which is other than the JV core. So it will be in the standalone or it's 100% subsidiary.
Okay, but not Vopak?
No, not Vopak.
Okay, sure. Okay. So technically, our net debt, if we look at, you know, then excluding the JV, our net debt would be somewhere in the negative 1,000 odd.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That is a fair understanding.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, thanks for that. So my second question is again on the Vopak JV. I believe Q2 FY 2023 will be the first quarter of all the assets into the JV. You know, it will get consolidated in the book, except all the Mumbai projects. All the other assets will be coming in from the JV, right? And there will be a reduction of minority interest to the extent of 49%. So is this understanding right?
Oh, yes. It is line by line consolidation, and minority interest would be there, which would be 49% of the JV co-profits carved out for the JV partner. And that is reflected in our results, which have been published. The minority interest is reflected there.
Right. And how many, like, days or what was the date of the JV get the assets getting transferred?
We have said, 25th of May, we completed the JV.
Okay, little more than one month.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Sure. And, so my final question is on, you know, the gas throughput volumes. We've been stuck in a range in the last few years. So, you know, taking a medium-term view, say,  3 to 5 years, where do you think the throughput volumes will be trending? We are about 30 lakh-31 lakh, you know, on an annual basis. Where do we see this going, say, in the next 3 to 5 years, with our capacity in place and, you know, multiple growth levers that you mentioned in the presentation also? So just wanted to get a sense on this.
Yeah. I think the throughput volumes, you know, we continue to be bullish on the overall throughput of overall LPG demand and throughput in the country. You know, now with our four terminals, we, you know, we are really well positioned to take advantage of that. The overall demand for LPG is continuing to increase at 6% to 7% per annum, sometimes even higher. And in fact, I believe that it will be higher than 6% to 7% growth. And to the extent, as far as I can see, that no further LPG terminals are planned by anybody else, I think we are confident that the growth in capacity that we have will get utilized. We've just seen one example of a new capacity coming on stream in Kandla, and the advantages and opportunities that has given us in terms of the distribution. So whether it comes from throughput or distribution, we are really confident that the LPG demand and our position to supply that demand is we are well positioned to capitalize on that.
Okay. Could it be possible for us to grow in say double digits over the next 3 to 5 years from current base?
We don't give specific numbers, but I stand by the comments that we have made always in the past that we can grow our business and our earnings between 25% to 40% per annum on a consistent basis based on what we have, the assets we have in place. And obviously LPG throughput and distribution profits are going to be a significant portion of that.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Jay Shah from Capital PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations, management, on the great set of numbers. So my question is more on the broader front. Do you feel that there is a chance that, the way if globally crude prices are falling and the gap between our products and alternate fuels like petrol and diesel and other crude derivatives, do you think that there can be a shift again to the primary fuels vis-a-vis, using LPG or other gases? Do you think there's a possibility?
Murad, I'm going to take that question. I think, as far as crude oil, prices up and down, I think the crude oil is not a direct substitute for LPG and never will be. It's too dirty. Crude oil does have an impact on the pricing benchmarks for LPG because it's a widely traded commodity and it's easy to benchmark. And so crude oil, the price of crude oil can be correlated with the price, the announced Saudi CP price for LPG. So I think it's definitely correlated with the pricing. But in terms of the actual substitutability, the closest substitute for LPG is natural gas, which many of you have asked in the past, that, is natural gas a threat to LPG and is natural gas? And as I mentioned earlier, the two fuels, natural gas and LPG, propane, butane, will continue to coexist for many years. So I'm not relating it to crude oil. I think what the future of natural gas and the way it plays out is more relevant, I believe, than crude oil to LPG. So I believe that with clean fuel and the environmental pressures that everybody's under, including India, with commitments of carbon emissions, reducing carbon emissions step by step, and so on. The only way for India to move forward is to continue its transition to a combination of less polluting fossil fuels in the short to medium term, like LPG, like natural gas, and of course as the development of renewables and other clean zero emission fuels happen. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen to move towards that. So I'm not particularly concerned about crude oil and its price fluctuations up and then, other than obviously it does affect the price of LPG. I think the biggest thing that we have to look for is natural gas and what its trajectory, its availability to India, given what's happening in Europe, switching away from Russian gas. A lot of gas, natural gas, is moving towards, Middle Eastern gas is moving towards Europe as well, and also to Japan and Korea and China, of course, as they continue on their journey towards cleaner fuels. So it's a very interesting scenario that's unfolding, but we believe that we are very well positioned to take advantage of the move towards cleaner and cleaner fossil fuel with our strong position in LPG and the four terminals that we now have.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best for the future quarter.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Himanshu Yadav from Edelweiss Wealth Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, for taking the questions again. One is, since two new liquid terminals will be there in our numbers now on, could you, you know, spend some time talking about those in terms of how comparable they are or aren't with, you know, any of our existing terminals? I mean, I just want to have some color of how to think about the profitability of, you know, Friends Group and the potential over there, and also the terminal which we have got from Bhopal into the JV.
Yeah, let me just answer, and then you can also add in case on this, because you are familiar with the acquisition of Friends Group and so on. But, you know, our assessment is that the addition of these two facilities, the CRL terminal and the Friends Group terminals, has put us in a very commanding position in Kandla Port. In terms of the marketplace, we still have some work to do to rationalize and improve the efficiency. You know, as some of you have followed Aegis for many years, we pride ourselves on our margins in the liquid business are, you know, in the 60 north of 60%, right now, neither of the two recently acquired terminals are in that operating that sort of profitability range. Of course, our objective would be to bring them up to that level. Having just literally, you know, a couple of months ago, got possession of them and now starting to improve, we believe that ultimately those two new terminals with the extra capacity of Imran, how much is the extra capacity with, I think, almost 700,000 kiloliters?
Yes.
Between the two terms? Yeah, almost 700,000 kiloliters extra coming onto our, under the, you know, the sort of the Aegis company. And as we start working on improving the profitability, we believe that these will become significant contributors to the overall liquids profitability. And of course, the other terminals, liquid terminals in the expansion, which I think you should also not forget, in Bangalore, in Haldia, and soon to start, in Kochi and so on, will also bulk up the liquid business. And I believe that, you know, liquids has in the past been sort of not given its due recognition because it is a slower growth business. It's not as, if I can use the word, not as sexy as LPG. But it is a very, very consistent and profitable business, and we are really proud to have that that business with us. So I'm glad. Thank you for asking that question. But we really look forward to some good results from liquids. We'll hand over to you in case you want to add anything, any comment on the...
Yeah, and also add that, you know, with the acquisition of these two terminals, there will be a lot of synergy of cost. And a lot of duplication of expenses will be avoided. We will also rationalize the storage because, you know, because of constraint of capacity, we had to also store low-value items, which now, with the increased capacity, we will have a lot of leeway to play around and entertain and store more high-value products. This will be a process and will take a little time, but you will see a huge advantage and EBITDAs in the coming times. Very, very good step that has happened in the liquid terminal division.
Yes, sure, sir, but if you could just help me, you know, some guidance or some number, because it's these are the terminals which have been introduced for the first time into the number. So any ballpark or any guidance would be helpful.
So we do not give terminal-wise either in liquid or in gas specific numbers. But you will see overall improvement in the liquid terminal division in revenue as well as EBITDA.
Okay. And sir, next is a follow-up to the comment which you said that you expect LPG consumption to grow 6% or plus. What is driving, your assumptions behind this? I mean, last 3 years it has been below 6%, and with, piped natural gas coming into many metros, our case for higher LPG consumption is actually derived from, increasing usage in tier 2-3 cities and in the rural areas. So, I mean, if you're saying that you expect this 6% kind of a growth, do you have like a short term in mind, or do you expect that this 6% kind of growth will be there for say 5 years plus? And under what assumptions are you, expecting this growth?
Yeah, I think, historical data and what we see on the ground in terms of the various incentives and schemes that the government is pushing to try and move the entire country onto more sustainable and less and safer, cleaner fuel. First of all, let me just tell you that nothing moves in exactly a straight line. So I think if you we've seen quite a lot of disruption in all businesses, including LPG over the last couple of years because of what happened with COVID and so on. But I think that's behind us now. We're back on track. There are things that happen. For example, if the price of LPG, which is now essentially, for the Indian public, is a market-driven price, the subsidy is very little. If the price does go up too much, people will try to economize and so on. So, nothing, as I said, moves in a straight line. But if you take the overall mix between industrial use, domestic use, and the issues that are arising from natural gas, the cost of natural gas, and so on, we believe that we stand by that number, that the growth of LPG will continue at the rate of around 6-7%. As I said, 1 year it may be 5%, but it may go up in another year. So, we stand by that number of 6-7% in the longer term.
Thank you, Oliver.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Saurabh Shroff from QRC Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Congratulations on a very strong set of numbers. My first question was on the sourcing business. It's good to see a really strong recovery, I guess, over the last 2 years in the first quarter. But we are still a far cry from, let's say, what the pre-COVID era volumes were. So just wanted to understand, is this just a function of the NOC not putting out enough tenders, or is it lack of availability or supply tightness given what is happening in the energy markets globally? And how do you see this evolving over the next few quarters?
So I think, obviously the disruptions that happened at the time of COVID with the NOCs, which national oil companies, which are, of course, the primary suppliers to the domestic market. In some cases, they had overordered, and then they suddenly had too much inventory, so they underordered, and so on. I totally agree with you that sourcing volumes really went down significantly. I think we are back on track. We won 18 cargoes and new last year, which are currently being delivered, which accounts for the kind of excellent sort of top line numbers for sourcing. The new tenders are coming out very shortly, and will be ready in a month or two. And we'll be bidding for that like we normally do, along with our partners, the Itochu Corporation. So we are confident that we are back on track. Of course, the reason why we are even more confident than previously is because the whole energy scenario with customers, everybody in the world scrambling for gas, whether it's the natural gas, LNG, liquefied natural gas, or propane, or butane, or LPG, combination, everybody is scrambling. So with our strong sourcing capability with our partners, ITOCHU Corporation, we believe we are very well positioned to secure both the ships and the cargoes for bringing gas for the national oil companies. And of course, it's not just that, it's also getting gas and shipping that gas at the cheapest possible price. So as I mentioned, the two ports that are right now not VLGC capable, which is basically Pipavav and Kandla, as they come into, as they become VLGC capable, we'll be able to offer to the national oil companies even more cost-effective cargo, because, you know, you can bring in VLGCs there and also offer them the ullage and the storage. I think, you know, we are very well positioned to do well in the sourcing business. I would point out that sourcing, of course, is not a huge profit contributor. It does, it's always very welcome, but but it certainly gives us a very close working relationship with the national oil companies as well.
Yes, sir. I think that's about.
My second question is more on the distribution business. So we are obviously adding to dealers and retailers, etc. And I guess the idea is that we want to eventually sort of grow this business much more. So where are you seeing this sort of growth coming from? Obviously, we are going into new geographies with our distribution, but I would imagine that there are incumbents in terms of the natural, the sort of the big oil companies already there. So are we seeing new customers coming to us? What is our sort of value proposition? Are we cheaper? Is our service better? Are we doing something that they are not able to do that we will continue to sort of grow this business and eventually, I guess, take share?
Yeah, good question. Look, the distribution business is a very competitive business because you're right, we have established incumbent figures, companies. Not only are the national oil companies, which are, of course, dominant players, very present in that business, but also we have Reliance Industries, we have SHV, an important global LPG player, and so on. So we have a number of, Total, of course, another multinational and so on, a number of players. It is quite a crowded playing field. But I just would like to also mention that we do not compete on price. This is the characteristic of Aegis. So we will never, our business does not, our management is instructed that we do not compete on price. We compete on service, the quality, assured quality of the product, our technical capabilities to ensure that, there's safety and the reliability because we have our own terminals. So I think it's the value proposition is all of those, all of the above, that basically reliability of supply, you're never going to get stocked out. You're never going to get saying, oh, I'm sorry, we have a priority to supply our domestic customers this year, this month there'll be no less gas available for you and so on. We compete on those terms, not on price. So we are confident that whatever the incumbents are, we are an incumbent, of course, we've been in this business for many years, but with our tremendous network now of four terminals and more to come, as we've said in previous calls, the value proposition is service and all of the things that come with that.
Sure, that's happening to here. And I guess one final question. I guess auto LPG in India generally hasn't done much, right, compared to what we are seeing on the natural gas side. Is it just the lack of availability and that most of our LPG gets imported? Is that the reason, or what do you put as the reason why this market isn't big, or if you think it's going to be much bigger, what is going to change for it to be significantly bigger?
Yeah, auto LPG, you're right. The market has not been growing very rapidly because there has been a push to by the government and by the car companies to push compressed natural gas, CNG, over LPG. and you know, while the auto gas market has been you know, certainly present at the, you know, volume range on an all India basis of between 250 to 300,000 metric tons a year, and we are a very small portion of that, it's certainly been a very profitable niche for us and will continue to be you know, a very profitable niche. I would say that the there are many factors which are buffeting the auto LPG business. One is the presence of, up to now at least, the presence of subsidized CNG. So what, you know, it's always a problem that when you are trying to compete with a government-subsidized product, it's difficult. Then the only thing that you're counting on is that the subsidized product may not be as easily available. But we believe that this is going to change, and is changing, that if you are a follower of what's going on in the world of natural gas cannot be subsidized for much longer. The price of natural gas landing in India is, you know, in excess of $25 per MMBTU, and you're trying to sell subsidized, you know, CNG to automotive at, you know, $6 or whatever. It's just not sustainable going forward. So we believe that CNG, while everybody is pushing for it, LPG has no subsidy. It's a totally market-driven fuel. You know, it will continue to have its position. It's very competitively priced with petrol, you know, and of course it's a much cleaner fuel. So while I concur with you that it's not been setting the world on fire, you know, LPG, you know, as an auto fuel, is a niche position, but we can, and, you know, earns good margins. We continue to be to sort of push hard on expanding our network. I would say the other thing is that the rollout of stations and the commissioning of new stations has been frustratingly slow. A lot of it is to do with the fact that while the ease of doing business in India on a headline basis has certainly improved, and India has improved its position by three places in the ease of doing business on a global basis. I think if you go down to the local level, nitty-gritty level, the ease of business certainly has not improved, because you have, you know, so many NOCs from local officials and so on. It's very, very difficult to get things done on a local level. So, you know, the headlines are, yeah, it's so easy to do business in India, but it's not as easy on the local level. So I'll leave it at that.
Sure. And one finally, our dealers and distributors who we are sort of empaneling and we are adding sort of gas stations, what kind of break events are they experiencing as they sort of, I guess, franchise out with us, etc.? Is it turning a profitable business for them over time, or are they sort of counting on this being one of maybe many other things that they will retail, i.e. then maybe they'll have some sort of a store on retail or whatever, just to sort of understand better the ecosystem and how profitably the entire chain is doing? That's the last question from me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, again, a very good question. You know, I think the model that we are pushing very hard now is a multi-fuel distribution, which is ultimately, you know, we are not building this our network of retail fuel distribution just for 1 year or 2 years. We're building it for, you know, many, many years to come. So we have finalized on a model of multi-fuel distribution. Today is basically a partnership that we have with Nayara Energy, where we have co-branded stations that are selling petrol, diesel, and auto LPG, and they're very successful, and dealers are very happy because they have three revenue sources. So that's certainly a model going forward, and who knows, in the future, if the electric revolution takes place, maybe we'll put chargers, we'll put whatever, but, you know, at the moment, we are focusing on these three fuels. You know, we've seen that wherever there is a multi-fuel distributor, they make good money, good returns on investments, and they're happy. The old model of just having only standalone auto LPG has taken a bit of a beating. So we're trying to push the multi-fuel station concept much more.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. In the interest of time, this was the last question. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Raj Chandaria for closing comments.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Some very interesting questions, and I hope we've been able to answer them successfully. I'd just like to leave everybody that, look, we've been through a bit of a rough patch, both in the country and in our company, where we had a little bit of a slowdown in our earnings. A number of other things happened, but I'm confident that as we ended last year with a positive note, I'm confident we end this quarter with a very positive note, that we are back on track. A number of projects are coming down the pipeline, as it were, apart from just completing the Kandla LPG terminal, which was our flagship terminal. Bigger and better things are coming. So really looking forward to the next 2-3 quarters to report some good news. And with that, I think I'd like to close the conference call and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Aegis Logistics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.